25% of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting CKUW 95.9 FM at Fundrive.
Listening to Bikini Drive-In on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Bikini Drive-In's mission is to analyze horror and science fiction films through an intersectional feminist lens while combining elements of screen and media studies, arts criticism, and women and gender studies. Since we'll be discussing portrayals of horror and violence, content warning, listener discretion is advised, etc. Also, spoilers ahead. And it's Fun Drive time. So until February 19th, we are asking for your donations to enable another great year of community radio. We are very excited for the year ahead. Our goal for 2021 is $60,000 in community support. Whether you tune in to hear new music, community news, or to learn about horror movies, CKUW is here for you every day. Fun Drive is when we need listeners to contribute back to keep us on the air. Most of our programming is remote and pre-recorded this year, so if you can, please visit fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to donate. And I want to thank a couple of people for donating to the show already. So I want to thank John, Kent, Daniel, Mike, and Mandy. Thanks so much for donating. And today I'm joined by Gwen. Gwen, thanks so much for being back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Gwen is a filmmaker, designer, musician, FX makeup artist, and stylist living in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Gwen's existence consists of designing original clothing and accessories, fabricating prosthetics, making Super 8 films, and playing analog music. Her interests includes ancient mysticism, street style, horror films, heavy music, and subculture.
Oh boy, I gotta write a new one.
I think that's great.
That's an old one, but it's funny. It makes me giggle, at least. Like, is that me?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just going to talk a little bit about CKUW, my history at the station. So I've been hosting Bikini Drive-In for almost 2 years now. And before that, I co-hosted The Tonic with Mike Furnish, Sam Doucette, and Melody Titus. So I've been with CKUW for a long time, like maybe 6 or 7 years or something. And I just think it's a really special place. Gwen, you've been there. You've been to that
Dusty studio. We got to keep it going.
Yeah. The staff and volunteers work really, really hard researching, interviewing, pulling together playlists, and hosting great shows every single day. And I understand it's a weird time for everyone right now, but if you can, please donate so CKUW can keep bringing you listener-driven radio. My goal today is to raise $400 for Bikini Drive-In, so please donate to fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877. And we have a couple of incentives for people who donate. So for donations of $50 or more, we have some VHS tapes from Gwen, some cassette tapes from Crab Skull, who also made the theme song for the show, and either a Blu-ray copy of Mike Marinick's film The Goose or tickets to Psycho Gorman available until February 25th at Cinematheque at Home. And also, Gwen has very generously offered to paint a portrait of whoever donates the most money.
I'm an amateur, but I'll try.
I think it'll be great. So please visit fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to donate. Do you want to talk about the movies that the VHS tapes?
The VHS tapes. I have April Fool's Day. Looks to be a copy from Rogers Video. Looks pretty good. And then we also have a film called Honeymoon. And I thought that was good for Valentine's Day. Till death do us part, it says.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Gwen, and everyone.
This is from 1986, Honeymoon. So, watched it once, probably 15 years ago, but there you go.
Today we're talking about Anna Biller's 2016 film, The Love Witch.
After Jerry died, the cops wouldn't stop harassing me. They couldn't prove anything. They actually thought that I killed him. Anyways, San Francisco got to be a really bad trip after you left. And that's when I remembered you had that extra apartment.
Hi, I'm Trish.
Hi, Trish.
Well, what do men want?
Just a pretty woman to love and to take care of them.
Love me. Love me.
What I'm really interested in is love. You might say I'm addicted to love. You want to take a girl up there now? You want some?
What is it?
I met this great-looking guy, and I used love magic on him. Then he got really weird on me. All these emotions started flowing out of him, and he got really sick. What is it, Wayne? What is it, baby? What a pussy. What a baby. Wayne. Witchcraft is just a way of concentrating energy. It can only work with what's already there. I just use sex magic to create love magic. Sometimes it's almost scary how strong the love gets.
And sex magic, of course.
Local music, local issues, local voices. It's all here on CKUW every day of the year. Now during Fund Drive, we need your support. Call 204-774-6877 or go to funddrive.ckuw.ca to pledge now. Elaine, played by Samantha Robinson, is a young witch who flees San Francisco after the mysterious death of her husband and moves to a small town in Northern California. There, she beguiles a succession of men with her beauty, spells, and potions. When none can face the power of the emotions, she arouses in them, and so the corpses begin to pile up again. When she at last meets the man of her dreams, her desperation to be loved drives her to murder. Gwen, what is your history with The Love Witch?
Well, I think I watched it pretty much as soon as it was available to watch online. Mm-hmm. We obviously didn't have any screenings of it in Winnipeg, but it totally stood out because I knew it was going to be heavy aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And it is. So visual. Mm-hmm. Remember really liking the commitment to the visual aspect. It's colorful. It's retro. Although, I guess, it's stylistically so, you know? Mm-hmm. But I watched it and I liked it. But I think that what stayed with me was the aesthetic side. Like, it's very inspiring aesthetically. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's been referenced a lot, like, image-wise. Like, even in, like, up to, like, 2 years ago, a year ago, people are still, like, sharing the image. Like, this is the look. And I guess because I make music videos, mm-hmm. I had that image of her in the very retro, like, the blue eyeshadow, the makeup look. Mm-hmm. Sent to me more than once, mm-hmm. as reference. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my history with it. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. This is my first time seeing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Again, I've said this before. It always takes me a long time to watch new movies.
Sure. Yeah.
It is interesting, like, how much the aesthetics have kind of stuck out. It lasted for,
yeah,
this is 5 years ago already that it came out.
It's still so much, like, mm-hmm. shared as an aesthetic, like the mm-hmm. Love Witch makeup tutorial and, like, mm-hmm. the love, yeah, there's just so much content like surrounding the film that are about the aesthetic.
Yeah,
still, and that,
yeah,
is
still it. Yeah, and it's, like, so beautiful, yeah, and so well done. And
yes,
I think it's, like, so interesting and great that, like, Anna Biller basically did everything herself. Like, she wrote it, directed it, produced it, edited it. And she also, wow, did the production design and costumes. And she even hooked the Elaine's witchy rug.
I saw, you know what, a friend of mine who's a rug maker who lives in Berkeley told me that, I think like a year ago, because we share images and we talk all the time. She's pretty good friends, but I was blown away that she made the rug. It's an amazing rug.
It is. Yeah. All the aesthetics are so amazing. And she, the costumes and everything. And just like, I think like so wild that she did everything herself. And like, I was listening to a couple of interviews with her, and she said that basically she did everything because she had like such a specific idea for the look and had like budget restraints. So she couldn't necessarily hire a bunch of people to make all the costumes for the Renaissance wedding scene. So she had to just do it herself.
I get it.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, I've also recently watched her other film, Viva.
Right. Yeah.
And it has a similar aesthetic, and just like, I just like this kind of like cinematic language that she's using in all of her films. I just think it's really very cool. Yeah.
She's so committed to her vision. I get the doing everything yourself. I mean, mine is more about budget constraint, but even when I, in the few times throughout my life, had a little extra money to farm out this stuff to other people, I don't want to. I hate to say that, but so
I get. Is that because you want things to be a certain way aesthetically? Yeah. And it's just,
no one will ever do it the way that it's in your mind. And you have to trust, and you have to make it's a huge risk, especially if you're an aesthetic filmmaker. And she is, and I get that because I think I am. I care sometimes more about the way things look than maybe the content, or I'll let things slide as long as it looks beautiful. So I guess that's why music videos are good for me, right? I don't have to create the story, it's just a song, right? It's like full aesthetic, but the commitment to like color palette and design, and just it's so razor focused that I have nothing but like I'm like in awe and have so much respect for somebody that's that committed and executes it. Like, she gets it, she did it. Like, it wasn't just an idea, or like, you know, she just, she did not compromise at all. I think that's amazing. Hard to do that, though. It's very hard.
Apparently very, it took her like 7 years to,
well, it would have to. The rug probably took 4 months. You know, every little prop, you know, everything is thought out. It's like so strategic, and there's a color palette for each scene, the way it's shot. You know, it's just like, it's a lot. And then on top of that, she's directing actors, and there's a script to follow, and there's dialogue, and then there's
And editing. And apparently she also like wrote some of the music, and then she wrote some of the music, and then
she scored it too.
I hired people for that to actually
produce
it.
Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's rare.
So, it is creative. It's
very rare to do everything yourself. It's almost unheard of, to be honest. So,
I think it's incredible. Amazing. I'm just like so excited to see what she comes up with next.
I know. It's been like a while. Her career I'm goes. Just waiting too, because it'll be great.
I have a quote from her kind of about her aesthetic process and working and stuff. So, it's not important that I do it all, she says. It's important to be the right tone. I think I've been able to achieve what I'm seeking, but I don't quite know how to describe it. I'm constructing as I go along. I discover things while I'm working. And do you find that that's kind of similar to your to your films?
You cannot ever describe what's in your mind. If you're that obsessed with a color palette or just a vibe or a mood or an essence of something, it's so difficult to describe that if you're really, really visual. I get it. It's not an easy road to do things that way. Things are much easier when you allow people to be involved. But I mean, I've made many mistakes because I thought I could do it all, right? So,
it must be hard to like to balance wanting something to be a certain way aesthetically or a certain tone.
Sure.
While also like not maybe stretching yourself too thin or risking like.
That's something story. That will happen, for sure. Risking the story is probably the first thing that goes, for sure. You get wrapped up in a visual world. It's like an obsession, you know? It's so beautiful. It's so amazing. So colorful. There's nothing subdued about it. It's just, like, so strong.
Yeah.
I love that.
So beautiful. And yeah, it's like an homage to films from the 1960s, 1970s in some ways, in
sure
sort of the like stilted dialogue, I should say, or very, kind of strange acting and dialogue and quite garish in some ways.
Speech cadence stuff in it that's like very jarring, but I think it was deliberate.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think everything about this film was deliberate. Yeah,
it's all very intentional.
This is a special time for CKUW. Our annual fund drive is on the air. From now until Friday, February 19th, you can call in and make a pledge to support Campus and Community Access Radio in Winnipeg. Once a year, we ask for listener donations to help us sustain the volunteer-made programming we showcase every day. Make the investment in your community now. Call 204-774-6877 or visit fundrive.ckuw.ca. By pledging, you support a volunteer organization that helps people find their voice, develop technical savvy, gain employment skills and references, and contribute to the wider community in a meaningful way. When you pledge $70, we can send you our limited edition FunDrive t-shirt as a wonderful thank you gift. Please call now at 204-774-6877 or visit fundrive.ckuw.ca to pledge your support. The volunteers at CKUW are invested in bringing you information and entertainment. We listen, research, interview, plan playlists, and write scripts. We put in the effort to make the difference in your life, and we ask you to make an investment in return. Please call in now and pledge. Call us at 204-774-6877 or donate at fundrive.ckuw.ca. Yeah, I was reading interviews with Anna Biller, and she was describing that women's films were a huge influence of hers. So this is not really a genre that I'm super familiar with. So the women's film is a film genre which includes women-centered narratives, female protagonists, and is designed to appeal to a female audience. Women's films usually portray women's concerns, in quotes, such as problems revolving around domestic life, the family, motherhood, self-sacrifice, and romance. These films were produced from the silent era through the 1950s and early 1960s, but were most popular in the 1930s and 1940s, reaching their zenith during World War II. Although Hollywood continued to make films characterized by some of the elements of the traditional women's film in the second half of the 20th century, the term itself disappeared in the 1960s. In some interviews, Anna Biller argues that femininity has been trivialized in more modern films, and how like masculinity and the sort of like male point of view is now seen as like more neutral.
Well, that's interesting. Women's films, like, I need examples. That's so interesting.
So she mentioned Mildred Pierce as one.
That literally on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Love that film.
Yeah. And there's also, this is a bit later, but All That Heaven Allows by Douglas Sirk, I believe, the 1955.
I don't think I've seen that.
I watched it in a screen studies class. Shout out Andrew Burke. And I usually don't, I wouldn't normally gravitate to a movie like that, but it's like, it's so, so like beautiful and lush and like beautiful technicolor. And it's like about this woman's sort of interior life and sort of these like sacrifices she has to make for her family. And it's just like so, so beautiful.
Mildred Pierce is so great too.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Joan finally won her much deserved Oscar for that.
Yeah.
The only one she ever got. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I love those type of films. Mm-hmm. I understand. Like wanting to decant that somehow into something modern.
Totally.
Although it still feels so throwback, but it is kind of modern.
It is, yeah. And it is interesting to think of it in relation to The Love Witch, because it's Elaine's story.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Her interior life, even though like she has conflicting desires and wants, it's all, you're following her and it's her story. I think it's so interesting that this, she describes it as being set in the present day.
Yeah, I mean.
It's so funny.
It's a little hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah, but there's modern elements. So there's like the cars, there's computers, someone has a cell phone. And it's almost like sort of like the vintage elements, the production, iconography, the costumes, that just sort of, it feels like it's part of Elaine's fantasy.
I wonder. So interesting. Mm-hmm. The second watch was very different for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you feel like you,
I don't know,
got more out of it or saw some things you didn't really see the first time?
I thought it was more impactful the first time for me, to be mm-hmm. honest.
Yeah.
But because I'm like obsessed with aesthetic, mm-hmm. I think I was just drinking in like primary colors and loving that, you know. Yeah. I really like that. The nudity and the sex scenes in it seem so natural. There's mm-hmm. that really insane part where she opens her coat and it's just like friggin' rainbows coming out of it.
Yeah, like the kaleidoscope.
Like insane. Strongest visuals, like incredible.
Yeah, totally. I have another quote about Anna Biller's aesthetic. So it's from an article from The Guardian by John Patterson. With Biller, the references come thick and fast. In The Love Witch, she channels, among others, 50s Hitchcock, Douglas Sirk's lurid lushness, Rainer Werner Fassbinder's deadpan gaze, Nicholas Ray's poetry, Sam Fuller's tabloid style, and Todd Haynes' revisionist sexual politics. She cites the salacious female-driven movies of the early 1930s before the Hays Code instructed that a film should not lower the moral standards of those who see it, such as Babyface, in which Barbara Stanwyck seduces her way to the top of an outrageously phallic corporate skyscraper floor by floor, man by man. Then add the Technicolor widescreen Haute Hollywood, women's pictures of the 1950s, A Touch of Hammer Studios, The Wicker Man, Rosemary's Baby, and any number of studio melodramas and musicals.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think she is working with so many different references.
There's some Hitchcock visuals in it for sure.
Totally, yeah. Like with the rear projection and the cars, yeah.
Driving, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, totally. And yeah, I think she's using all of these references and the sort of like the way that it's shot and the dialogue and everything to subvert kind of our expectations of Elaine and mm-hmm. even the sort of like style of character, I guess, you would normally see in a film from the 1950s or 1970s. Like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, again, like I mentioned, like the internal life, the motivations of a character that would normally only be seen as a sex object.
Well, yeah, that's feminizing a male gaze.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what she did really well, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's such a feminine film.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Interior, intimate, mm-hmm. takes its time. There's lots of domestic kind of moments. Mm-hmm. That stuff's kind of missed. Like people don't bother adding that. Sort of, it's incidental almost, I think now, you know, but I think the incidental moments are important.
Totally. Yeah. It seems like that or that kind of aesthetic is just seen as like not serious.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really thinking about the pre-code 30s films that I'm obsessed with and love, and her influence from that is really exciting. I wonder why all of that stopped, I guess. Like, I wonder what happened. Mm-hmm. That things became so... Movies just aren't made for women unless they're, like, kind of dumbed down and, like... Mm-hmm. Even now, like, what is, like, a film that's, like, geared towards women that's supposed to be empowering? It's just, like, women running around like an action star. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not enough. I don't know. That's a big lofty thought. But
yeah, that's a big question.
I'm going to keep thinking about it because it's very interesting.
Or even like if you think of something that's typically seen
as
for feminine audiences or whatever, or female audiences. Or right. Whatever. Like a rom-com. Like there's still, you could still like.
Never for me.
I mean, sometimes for me, but there are still ways to subvert that sort of genre and make it interesting.
Sure.
It's still not taken seriously because it's like a romantic comedy or whatever.
That's true. I'm going to be thinking about that for a while.
I know. I'm trying to think of like what's a movie that would typically be like made for a woman.
Well, there's spots.
I know. I'm just like blanking.
To be honest, most of them feel a bit vapid for me. Mm. But I think television is a little bit more varied. Mm. I think films don't want to take the risk that television can.
Or they're just not seen as bankable. Like,
well, that's the risk, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. I think you can say more in even a short television series that has 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. There's more risks taken. It's not about the box office, you know? Mm. It's going to be streamed. I think you can do more, which is sad. I mean, I wish I wish it weren't that way. Mm-hmm. I think things are changing. Mm. We need more visionary directors like Anna.
I dreamed of a fairy lady in a strange land. She captured the hearts of all the boys and men. She wore a gown of pink and purple roses. It was so tra-la-la and so la-di-da.
Where were we? Oh, men. You said we need to give them what they want. Well, what do men want?
Just a pretty woman to love and to take care of them and to make them feel like a man and to give them total freedom in whatever they want to do or be.
But what about what we want? How are we going to be equals with men if we keep catering to all of their needs?
I think that if you want love, you have to give love. Giving men sex is a way of unlocking their love potential.
You sound as if you've been brainwashed by the patriarchy. Your whole self-worth is wrapped up in pleasing a man. I'll admit I used sex to get this, but I'm not proud of it. The whole world doesn't revolve around a man's needs. If I gave Richard sex every time he wanted it, I'd be a wreck.
Poor Richard. He loves you, and he wants you, and you torture him. Have to give a man his fantasy.
His fantasy?
Yes, his fantasy. What I'm really interested in is love. You might say I'm addicted to love. I wonder if all women feel that way.
CKUW is always here for you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But once a year, we need your help. It's Fund Drive time, our annual appeal for listener support. Call in and pledge during your favorite show until February 19th, or pledge online at fundrive.ckuw.ca. As a thank you for gifts over $35, donors can opt for special Fund Drive incentives. Donate now at fundrive.ckuw.ca. Thanks to your generous gift, we're on our way to another successful Fund Drive and another year of amazing, uncompromised, independent radio for you. Should we talk about Elaine in a little bit more detail? Because she's a flawed, kind of naive character.
Quite naive.
And to me, she just seemed quite lonely.
Lost.
Yeah, lonely, like kind of a misandrist.
She seemed really conflicted.
Yeah, totally. In kind of this like doomed character.
I love imperfect characters. Yeah. Like, why do we need this like, you know, streamlined, perfect, sure protagonist to follow? Yeah. Seems boring.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anybody in real life. Not that films have to mirror that, but it's really refreshing to have that variety.
Yeah, she's very complicated because she wants, in the end, she just wants to continue living this fantasy and to be a fantasy for men. Like this, she kind of seems like the product of living in a patriarchal society.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, because she's catering to men, but she also kind of seems to hate men.
She hates them.
She hates them.
I like to think she does.
Yeah.
But she also knows that her power lays in being desired.
Yeah, totally.
Which is interesting. You know?
But it only gets her so far.
Seems to backfire a little bit in the film. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's just not an easy task. It's a very interesting script, actually. It's very... I think you think it's going one way while you're watching it, but it really like kind of changes throughout.
Yeah, definitely.
There's surprises. The tone and theme changes a few times, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about it.
Mm-hmm. In one interview, Anna Biller described Elaine as a toxic narcissist, which I thought was very...
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and how it's kind of a tragic story. Like there were a lot of pieces that I read that it is about... female power and sort of like female agency, but at the same time I think Elaine is just going to continue with these sort of like toxic cycles.
It's almost like your vanity makes you sick. I think that that's very astute to write into your film. I mean, I think that's a real product of society and even current life that we live.
Totally. Yeah. And I think like one of the main things with this film that she's trying to communicate is that this sort of treatment and subjugation of women isn't just from the 1930s, from 1950s. Like it's very much still.
Oh yeah.
Still happens.
It's really a film that you can think about quite a bit. On the surface, it doesn't seem so, but it really does have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm not doing it like enough. Like, I feel like, I mean, I could even watch it like a fourth time and keep thinking about it.
Like, I think this film got some mixed reviews when it was initially released.
Yeah.
And it was mostly like cis straight men who didn't like it, or like didn't understand like what she was doing, or didn't take it seriously because it is such an aesthetic film.
It wasn't taken seriously, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah, I read some awful reviews of it when it came out. Like, it was just like terrible, scathing, unkind, lazy, terrible reviews. So,
which is really, which is so, I don't know, so unfortunate. Well,
welcome to trying to make a genre film when you're a lady.
Goddess, please send me a beautiful, sweet man to love me as I love him. To love me. Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me.
Local music, local issues, local voices. It's all here on CKUW every day of the year. Now during Fund Drive, we need your support. Call 204-774-6877 or go to funddrive.ckuw.ca to pledge now. Should we talk about witches in films generally?
Yes, okay. I like talking about witches in films.
Okay. There's a scene in the film where Elaine is talking to her friend. They're in this like burlesque club, which is, I guess,
yes,
where the coven sort of hangs out.
Yeah.
Before we get into like this quote, I think it is really interesting. We were talking about this earlier, the sort of mix of like Wicca imagery, but then also like Anton LaVey sort of like lecherous creep, sort of Satanist cult.
Like pulpy Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah. Like Hollywood era Satanism. Pulpy.
Gross.
Yeah. And of course, it's being like led by this gross dude.
I love that dude. Good performance.
Great performance. Such a creep.
What presence?
So they're sort of sitting in the burlesque club, and Elaine's friend is the high priestess of Elaine's coven is talking about sort of their group. So she says, the whole history of witchcraft is interwoven with the fear of female sexuality. They burned us at the stake because they feared the erotic feelings we elicited in them. Later, they used marriage to hold us in bondage and made us into servants, whores, and fantasy dolls, never asking us what we wanted. They teach us that a normative human being is a higher rationalist, stoic male, and women's emotions and intuitions are illnesses that need to be cured. That in mind, like, what do you think witches represent in film generally?
The virgin or the whore or the crone.
Mm-hmm.
The three archetypes.
Yeah.
I didn't make those up.
Mm-hmm.
Men made those up. They're to be feared, or they're, you know, painted as overly sexual. I didn't realize that was a problem, but I guess it is within a certain lens. They're there to tempt you and then mess with you, you know?
Yeah,
women totally. That have a little bit too much power are never going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that power be over their bodies or, you know, having, you know, magical powers to make things happen, that's always going to be feared.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite type of witch in movies?
Yeah, I like a hag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a scary witch, a terrifying bog witch. Mm-hmm. That I think that's my favorite. It's kind of non-apologetic.
Yeah, yeah, truly.
And I appreciate that type of depiction, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I think witchcraft movies, there have been many, really. Mm-hmm. And there are different styles. Like, I've always really loved Season of the Witch as a film. Mm-hmm. Kind of a weird one, but it's so great. 70s. Kind of like about a suburban woman that finds a coven, and it's very 70s, but it's so great. It's just like it's a really great depiction of, like, this movie kind of reminds me of that on some level a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I don't know, yeah, the witch, what does it even represent in pop culture, or in something to be feared but also desired?
Yeah, totally. I think it is like one of those genres or one of those characters where it's like there's so much that you can do and so much that you can impose on that character. Yeah.
Well, the horror.
Yeah.
Like Hammer films, it was just like all these wanton women like writhing around because they were witches, right? They were trying to find like unassuming men to like do bad things to you. And it was like writhing and, you know, really that style, you know?
I do kind of like just like an evil, like femme fatale style witch. Like, that's, I really like, is it Barbara Steele in Black Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
She's amazing. But again, like at the end of that movie, like the good Christian boys win, unfortunately.
Well, movies are like Witchfinder General and like, you know, it's just like hunting them to make them stop writhing.
Yeah.
Some sort of like
they're
weird.
They're too sexy.
Like, they're always writhing around. They shouldn't do that. They're tempting the men to do bad things, you know?
Yeah, they're corrupting like a village or some sort of young maiden.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're spreading their weird thoughts around, causing hysteria.
Yeah, which that's kind of what Elaine is doing. Like she's causing these men to be hysterical.
They're hysterical.
Yeah.
They become weak when they're around her, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that's the interesting sort of trope of like the witch in films, you know? Mm-hmm. But I kind of like a hag witch that lives in like a bog and like a Baba Yaga or, you know, that's the kind of witch I like. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Get the pretty out of the equation, you know, and like just moved on from being desirable, but like maybe you can shapeshift.
Yeah. She's evolved past the need to be desirable.
Yeah, that sounds right. But you can still have much power and make much impact. Yeah, it's really interesting. There's so many witch movies. When The Love Witch came out, I was like, another witch movie, but wow, it looks so beautiful and it really stood out. Mm-hmm. Because I'll watch anything with that theme. So
The witch theme. I know we got to do Witch Month.
We're going to do Witch Month.
We got to do it. Because there's so much. There's so many different directions you can go in. Yeah. This is a special time for CKUW. Our annual fund drive is on the air. From now until Friday, February 19th, you can call in and make a pledge to support Campus and Community Access Radio in Winnipeg. Once a year, we ask for listener donations to help us sustain the volunteer-made programming we showcase every day. Make the investment in your community now. Call 204-774-6877 or visit fundrive.ckuw.ca. By pledging, you support a volunteer organization that helps people find their voice, develop technical savvy, gain employment skills and references, and contribute to the wider community in a meaningful way. When you pledge $70, we can send you our limited edition FunDrive t-shirt as a wonderful thank you gift. Please call now at 204-774-6877 or visit fundrive.ckuw.ca to pledge your support. The volunteers at CKUW are invested in bringing you information and entertainment. We listen, research, interview, plan playlists, and write scripts. We put in the effort to make the difference in your life, and we ask you to make an investment in return. Please call in now and pledge. Call us at 204-774-6877 or donate at fundrive.ckuw.ca.
Do you
want to talk about your favorite movies of 2020?
Well, I only have a couple.
Okay, you go first.
Well, okay, so, man, well, you know what? I'd like to just talk about one. Man, you know, okay, let me just, like, here's the honest truth. Kind of hard. I don't know what my problem is. What was 2020? What was I watching? Mm-hmm. I was watching a lot. But I had a hard time making a list. I don't know why. I had stuff written down, then I crossed it out. It was like, no, this one. And what stood out to me? I guess, like, instead of, like, my top five, I'll just say that one film I watched in 2020 was Jennifer Kent's The Nightingale. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it. There's so many things I could, there's so much to talk about, but very, very, very difficult, but very impactful. And I think that's my only pick.
What? No. You need...
I don't have any more. Just The Nightingale.
You get to say watch more.
It. Watch it in three nights. Like I had to keep stopping because it was so difficult. And then I cried.
Oh my gosh. I love. Yeah. I think, like, more and more I'm leaning to more, like, devastating horror movies.
I don't even know. I mean, if it's a horror movie, it's about, you know, colonial Australia. It's about racism. It's about rape. It's so fucking difficult, but I think Jennifer Kent did an incredible job. Mm. It's so, so hard to watch. But I thought it was a really strong title that I watched. So maybe I was in the mood for that. I don't know. But it made me really emotional. That's maybe rare for me now. I don't know what it is. Like, we're bombarded with world atrocities every minute, and, you know, maybe we want to escape and not watch films like that, but I wanted to and I did, but it did take me more than one sitting to finish it. I thought it was great. Not a good time. Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of stuff in 2020, but I mean, what makes the list? I don't know. It's hard. How about you? Like, one title.
Chose Swallow by Carlo Mirabella Davis.
Very good.
I just thought it was, so wonderful. Again, like, such a beautiful, aesthetically beautiful movie with, it's referencing a lot of stuff, but then it also, like, twists that sort of narrative. Like, it was not what I was expecting at all. I thought it was so well done.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. And it had, I just think it's perfect.
Yeah. That was a good release for sure.
Yeah. And another one that's just, like, very devastating, very, like, important to our times, but then it's still, like it's referencing sort of, like, old school sexism and misogyny while it's still very much, like, still very much happens today. CKUW is always here for you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But once a year, we need your help. It's Fund Drive time, our annual appeal for listener support. Call in and pledge during your favorite show until February 19th, or pledge online at fundrive.ckuw.ca. As a thank you for gifts over $35, donors can opt for special Fund Drive incentives. Donate now at fundrive.ckuw.ca. Thanks to your generous gift, we're on our way to another successful Fund Drive and another year of amazing, uncompromised, independent radio for you. Yeah, so that's our show this week. Thank you, Gwen, for coming on the show and co-hosting with me again.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I was slightly low energy and slightly confused, but I think that's just, like, a product of the year that we've had and that it's kind of continuing and it's really cold. So yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of themes in The Love Witch, and it seems hard to, like, pin them all down.
I do.
Discussion.
It's a lot of discussions, which is good. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's worth a watch, everybody. Everyone should watch The Love Witch, I think. She's coming out with a Bluebeard movie, apparently. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Wow. Is it a Mariner film?
Oh, maybe. Your favorite.
Give me a lighthouse and a ship and an ancient... I love that stuff.
Yeah, so I just want to talk a little bit about Bikini Drive-In and CKUW, just because, like, through the show, through the station, I've been able to meet new people and have different guests on the show, host live events and discussions, and I just really love horror movies, and so it's just been, like, so great to have a platform where I can watch movies, do research, and talk to cool people about movies. It's really fun. Yeah, and thank you everyone for listening and supporting the show. If you're a fan of the show, I encourage you to visit fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to donate to Fundrive. And once again, for donations over $50 or more, we have some VHS tapes from Gwen and cassette tapes from Crab Skull and either a Blu-ray copy of Mike Mirnick's film The Goose or tickets to Psycho Gorman, which is available until February 25th at Cinematheque at Home. And also whoever donates the most money will get a portrait painted by Gwen. She promised she has to do it. That's great. And yeah, please visit fundrive.ckw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to donate. Gwen, where can people find you and find your work?
Well, I'm on Instagram where I sell textile art and design stuff and vintage, and it is Objects in the Night Mall. You can find me there.
What projects are you working on right now?
I'm trying to finish up editing a film I made 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's been quite difficult. Music video is being edited for someone, and mostly I am just painting a lot of naive paintings. Yeah, I mean, just like old film work and kind of like conceptualizing my next project, which is kind of exciting. So cool.
Yeah, so excited. Yeah, thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
She's an evil chick. Say she's the witch. She got a long black hair and a big black car. I know what you're thinking, but you won't get far. She's gonna make you ill, 'cause she's the witch. Well, she won't.
Of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. Thank you for listening and thank you for supporting CKUW 95.9 FM at Fundrive.